see all of you here today and to be with you on this day as we have for the last several weeks already have begun this partnership with St. Paul and Zion as we continue to lift you up and encourage you in this process. And today's a big day, not only as this partnership is official as we see this thing going face to face, but it's a big day as we officially induct Victor Carey among us today as he will be doing your work, serving you, serving with you, for you, and doing the work of the Lord. And so we're excited about that to welcome Victor and Leah and his entire family, and glad that they are here today. With that, just as a reminder, following this service, a celebration of induction will take place. There will be a meal downstairs following, so make sure that as the service is over, you get a chance to greet Victor and his family, that you'll also plan to stay for the dinner, enjoy some good fellowship, and time together as we celebrate the work of the Lord in this place. So with that, I've been asked to say, are there any other announcements that anybody has? Today is also a big day that we're going to have a blessing in the backpack, so we're looking forward to that. Any other announcements? I will take that as a no. So with that, let us officially begin our worship service here this morning with our opening hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem sounds, all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee. The Virgin Son, the God incarnate born, whose arms those crimson trophies won, which now his brow adorn, fruit of the mystic rose, yet of that rose the stem, the root whence heresy ever flows, the babe of Bethlehem. Crowned him the Lord of love, behold his hand and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angels in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends their wondering eyes on mystery so bright. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphs o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. In the Lord of heaven, enthroned in words above, crown him the King to whom is given the wondrous name of love. Crown him with many crowns, as thrones before him fall. Crown him, ye kings, with many crowns, for he is King of all.
Please rise. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do not blood deeds. There is none to do good. We pause for a few moments of silent self-examination. Holy and gracious God,
I confess that I have sinned against you this day. Some of my sins I know, the thoughts and words and deeds of which I am ashamed, but some is known only to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask forgiveness. Deliver and restore me, that my heart may know peace.
By the mercy of God, we are redeemed by Jesus Christ, and in him we are forgiven. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He who began this good work within you, bring it to completion on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, defend your church from all false teachings and error, that your faithful people may confess you to be the only true God and rejoice in your good gifts of life and salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. This time I invite the children to come forward for the blessing of the backpacks. If you have your backpack with you, please come on down and bring it with you, and we'll go ahead and bless that as I have a few words for you this morning. Wow, that is an awesome pink backpack. That is neat, and this is really cool. Tell you what, why don't you guys sit there? I'm gonna sit there. You can face them. I'm coming. I brought my backpack. And for those of you who are out there, you're going to be surprised. Chief Wahoo backpack, not that G stuff that they have going on. So how are you guys today? School start already? What's your favorite subject?
Playing.
Recess. That was, I got an A all the way through school and recess. That was my favorite. How about you? Math. Hopefully everything adds up with math. Sorry, no language arts just yet, but we'll have to work on that. So going to school, your mom and dad probably took you out school shopping?
Well, my friend gave
you all his clothes. But for school, there's certain things. What are some things that you need to have for school that you put in your backpack? You need to have a backpack. Maybe for school, do you have these? What are these? Crayons, yeah. What would school be without crayons, right? How about, do you need something like this? Do you know what this is?
I don't use that.
You don't use it?
You
will, eventually. Do you know what this is? What is it called?
A ruler.
What do you do with a ruler? You measure what you're cutting out, see how long something is. Yeah, you have a ruler with that. Let's see. How about, do you ever use this?
Oh, yeah, definitely
glue. Definitely glue for the things that you cut out. You got to have. So there's all kinds of things that we need when we put our stuff in our backpack. Now, the challenge sometimes with backpacks is when you're at school, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to put in your backpack when you're at school? Maybe some homework that you have? Some stuff you need to bring home. Problem is, sometimes we forget to bring, yeah, like that. And you don't ever want to forget that, do you? And that looks like what happens when you forget your homework and stuff, right? So sometimes we forget stuff at there. But there's another thing that you always want to take with you in your backpack and with you every step of the way, everywhere you go, and that would be this. You know what this might be? What do you guess? We're in church. It has...
Yeah.
What is it?
Devotion book?
It's the Bible. And what do we find, what kind of information do we find in the Bible? Or who do we hear about in the Bible? Jesus. And so we want to take Jesus with us everywhere we go. Because Jesus, what did Jesus do for us? He made the entire world. Yes, he did. And he also went to the cross and he died and paid for our sins. And so we want to take Jesus, we want to take God's word with us everywhere we go. because it reminds us that even if sometimes we don't do so well in school, even if sometimes we get in a fight with our friends, even when sometimes things aren't going good, Jesus loves us. And so whatever you do in your backpack, not only just for school, but anywhere in life, make sure that you take Jesus with you. So with that, we're going to bless your backpacks, and we have something for you we're going to give afterwards. So let's bow our heads in prayer and repeat after me, okay? Put your backpack over here. Bring it over here, right here. There you go. Let's put this right there. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love.
Thank you for your love.
Thank you for giving us,
thank you for giving us
schools where we can learn. As we go to school and carry our backpacks, may we take you with us everywhere we go. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, I got backpack tags here for you. Your name is Violet. Guess what? This one has your very name on it. And so when you do that, it says a reminder that Jesus is going with you wherever you go. And your name, let me guess, Barrett? Right here you go, Barrett.
I was going to show you my folder.
I did see it just a little bit ago. And here's another special one for a big kid among us, Vicar Carey. But he's not the only one. There's a big kid who keeps this big kid in line, and that's Leah, his wife. So you get to do that when you go to school. And guess what? I get one too. And there's another big kid among us, Diane, who made them all. So we have a few of these, and so it's a great way to remind her as you put...
I'll take my
Diane's. Oh, you'll take Diane's. Okay, there you go. Make sure she gets it. And so what you want to do is put that on your backpacks as a reminder that Jesus goes with you everywhere you go, okay? Okay, now you can go back to your seats. But I think you all need a Chief Wahoo backpack. That's just my own opinion. So, okay. As Barrett is getting ready and finishing up with putting things on his backpack, we're going to turn our attention to God's holy word. And if you have bulletin with you, you can go ahead and follow along there, or you can just listen if you would like as we turn to God's word and see what it has to say to us here today. The Old Testament lesson that is assigned for this day is taken from the 29th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah, and it reads, "The vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. When men give it to one who can read, saying, 'Read this,' he says, 'I cannot, for it is sealed.' And when they give the book to one who cannot read, saying, 'Read this,' he says, 'I cannot read.' And the Lord said, 'Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men, therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, and wonder upon wonder. And the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?' You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay? And that thing that made should say to the maker, 'He did not make me?' Or the thing formed say of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding?' It is not yet very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest. In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eye of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel." This is the word of the Lord. Today's epistle lesson comes from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus, the fifth chapter, beginning with the 22nd verse. Although I will have to admit, this is a great section of scripture that really starts better with the 21st verse rather than the 22nd, because it creates misunderstanding. The 21st verse says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Then verse 22 says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body. and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of the body. We are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is the word of the Lord. We now stand in respect of Christ, in honor of whom today's gospel lesson is read. Today's gospel is taken from Mark's account of the gospel, the 7th chapter, beginning with the first verse. When the Pharisees gathered to Jesus with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands and were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there were many other traditions that they observed, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy to you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandments of God and hold to the traditions of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandments of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. Many such things you do." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
After having heard the word, let us now together confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We continue now with the hymn of the day, LSB 912, "Christ is Our Cornerstone."
Christ is our cornerstone, on him alone we build. With his true saints alone, the courts of heaven are filled. On his great love, our hopes are peace and present grace, a joy above. May gain this through him the grace which we implore, and may the grace once given be with us evermore, until that day when all the blessed to endless rest are called away. Jesus, we will raise it. Three in one to sing and thus proclaim in joyful song, both loud and long, the glorious name.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is taken from the book of Ephesians. It's not taken from today's epistle lesson. I didn't think that I really wanted to focus so much on marriage as we are celebrating the induction of our vicar. But look within the same book that is assigned for this day. And Ephesians is a book that really kind of talks about the unity that we have in Christ. Really talking about the unity between Jew and Gentile, which has been a challenge over the years up to that point. And so the whole idea behind this is that we are to love one another, that we are to be united. And that's fitting for us as we begin this partnership with Zion and St. Paul here as we began it at the beginning of this month. Well, the portion of scripture that I selected from Ephesians to serve as the text for today is the first verse of the fourth chapter, which simply reads, I therefore, a prisoner for God, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. This is our text, dear family and friends in Christ Jesus. Amen. There is a great little story about this group of tourists who were visiting this quaint little town that was some distance from a well-known larger city. And as these tourists walked by throughout the town, they noticed that there was an elderly man who was leaning up a fence that was there. And one of the tourists asked, kind of in a condescending sort of way, he said, were any great men ever born here? And then to which the elderly man said, no men, just babies. And you know, there's a great deal of truth to that, isn't there? There's really no instant heroes, no instant status, no instant fame bestowed upon anyone, whether it's in the world or even more specifically, as we're looking at today, in the kingdom of God. And that's because growth takes time. And that's really one of the challenges that we face at living at this particular time in the course of history, because it seems like more so than any other time before us, we live in a time of instant gratification, don't we? For example, if you want a cup of hot coffee, all you need to do is drop a little pod in the Keurig within a matter of minutes, boom, it's done. We have instant oatmeal, instant milk, instant pudding, instant breakfast, instant accessibility to information that is taking place around the world. And even more so now that we have these cell phones in our pocket where we're never disconnected from information around the world. And it's hard. It's hard to be patient in this world, and really that's kind of the whole concept behind the idea of fast food restaurants, isn't it? You go to the restaurants because you want your food quickly. You want it fast. How often have you complained after you made your order that you had to wait 5 minutes for that food to finally get to the counter? And that's because when we order it, we want it, and we want it now. And if you're like me, bold confession out here today, if you're like me, if you go to the grocery store, whether it's Kroger or Meijer or Walmart, Cheese, whatever it may be, whenever you're ready to check out, this is what I do. I kind of assess all of the lines, check and see which ones are shorter, and then the shorter ones, I try and see how much food is in or items are in each of those baskets. Then I look and see which cashier seems to be the fastest, and then I get in that line. But I'm not done yet. I'm always watching those other places where I could, you know, we could have been done. We could have been done by now if we would have picked that line, but that's the way that it is, because we want things to be done, and we want them to be done quickly. And all of this really brings us to the concept, to the idea that St. Paul is talking about in today's text. For he's telling us that there is no such thing as an instant faith. Now, it's true. The Holy Spirit, he can create an instant conversion. We saw that with the Ethiopian eunuch, and we see that it happens. But the thing is, there's no such thing as an instant Christian. It takes time. It takes effort. And we are encouraged in today's text, remember to walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling. And how fitting these words are for us here today. As we join this partnership between Zion and St. Paul, where we're doing the work that the Lord has called us to do in Ridgeville Corners, in Napoleon, in the surrounding areas, the Ohio District, and even beyond that. And we are to be doing this work together. And that's exactly what this section of Ephesians is all about, that we are to have this unity in Christ. And how awesome it is that as we are have committed to this partnership together, we do so in the recognition and celebration of your former pastor, Pastor Rockroar, who faithfully served this congregation for many years. And a key part of this connection that we have, this partnership that we have, is seated before us here today with Vicar Carey. And we are thankful that the Lord has brought him here so that we can make sure that the work of the Lord continues to be done in this place and through this place and out in the community. And the words that are before us in today's epistle lesson from Ephesians, they're pretty simple, aren't they? But they are very direct as well. It says, walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling. I'll tell you this applies to all of you members of Zion. This applies to you, Vicar. This applies to me. This really applies to all of us as well. And I have to say, Vicar, the path that it took to get you to this place, it certainly was an interesting path nonetheless. It's taken some twists and some turns along the way, some as anticipated, some as expected, some as planned, and others not so much. But in all of those twists, all of those turns, with the gift of perspective, we are able to look back and see how God was leading and guiding you each and every step of the way. And one of the key steps took place on October 25th on your baptism, that day when God claimed you to be his very own. You didn't know it then, but God had all of this in store for you already way back then. And then growing up in New Haven, Indiana as a Hoosier, I have to tell you, you're in Buckeye country now. Side note, we're going to a baseball game on Wednesday, the pastoral staff. It's Cleveland versus Kansas City. And he asks, who should I root for? I said, it depends. Do you want to ride home or not? He said, so I should wear my Kansas City shirt? I said, sure, that would be great. But you're in Buckeye country. But in Indiana, you were growing each step of the way. The Lord was blessing you. He was leading you, blessed you with great parents who were encouraging you to grow in your faith. And then on May 4th, 2014, you confirmed that faith as you stood before the altar. 2014, man, these vicars are getting younger all the time, aren't they? It's not that we're getting older. And again, at that time, God was working in you and through you and challenging you and nudging you. And while maybe the path wasn't really set straight in your mind, God provided. God provided great people in your life in addition to your family. God provided people such as Pastor Blodgett and Don Wickman and Pastor Hoover, who said, you know, God has good things in store for you. You have certain gifts. You should use these gifts. You should grow these gifts. You should use them for the betterment of God's kingdom. And you continue to use them and grow them and lead them and learn them and continue to develop at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, where you love the theology and God was working in your heart. And, of course, there at Concordia Ann Arbor, you met your wonderful wife, and what a truly blessing that is. And then you entered the pre-seminary program there, and again, God was encouraging, led you to go to seminary in Fort Wayne, and now you begin your vicarage. as St. Paul said in Ephesians 4, great book, I'd encourage you, take some time in your daily devotions, make your way through Ephesians, you'll be blessed by it. But in Ephesians 4, same chapter that the text is from, verse 12, just a little bit further down the line, says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. In other words, we're really supposed to help each other grow up in the faith. We're to help each other by building each other up and encouraging each other and supporting each other in the midst of the challenges and difficulties that comes life way. We are to be about the business of making disciples so that these people who do not yet know Jesus become part of Jesus' family. And they too grow in the faith. And that's really the good news that the Lord has given each and every one of us. That he has given us the tools that we need in order to grow the faith so that we can be the people that God wants us to be, so that we can do those things that God wants us to do. Now, for you guys who were at St. Paul a number of weeks ago, when we had your induction service there, you may remember that I talked about different spiritual food groups that you needed to grow up healthy and strong. And so what I'm going to do today, and I don't normally do this, but it just happens to be two sermons back, I'm going to give you a list of a couple things that I would consider tools that you need for the ministry, tools that all of you need as the people of God, so that we can live as God desires us to be. And so I won't test you here in front of everybody to see if you remember what it is, that it was fellowship, devotion, worship, and the sacraments. Those were the four spiritual food groups. But I'm going to give all of you some tools that will help you in grow in your faith. The first tool is this, and that is, talked about it with the kids here today, that's Scripture. Scripture is such a key tool that we need to rely on. We see it as the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. That means there's no mistakes in it. And so it's important. We need to see what it says. In 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. For all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God, so that the people of God, be thoroughly equipped for every good work." You see, Scripture isn't just a series of writings of people who wanted to be part of a best-selling book. Scripture comes to us from God himself. And again, you catch it, useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking. So those who say, judge not lest ye be judged, I mean, it tells us that we need to be able to say, what is right, and what is wrong, but then also the training that needs to be done. And likewise, in Hebrews 12, another great section of Scripture, where it says, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing in soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So God's Word is not something that was written 1,000 years ago that is not relevant to us today. It's relevant to us today. And we see many problems are coming about today because we're not listening to what God's Word has to say, right? You don't have to look that far. And Psalm 119, yeah, who doesn't love that one? It says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We live in a sin-darkened world. We need Scripture to enlighten that path because it's so easy to go down the wrong road. So we need to stay on task. So the first one we have is Scripture. The second one we have is faith. Now, sometimes we get a little confused. Faith is not something we do, but faith is something that we receive from God. He gives us that. In Romans 10, verse 17, it says, "Faith comes by hearing the Word of God." When you hear, what are you doing? You're receiving the gifts. You're not doing it, you're just receiving. So faith comes by receiving the Word of God. And so let's not get confused that I need to work on my faith and make it stronger because then I get the credit when it's going well. Faith comes from God and God alone. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Faith is being sure to what is hoped for and certain of what we do not see." We don't tie our faith to what it is we see, what can be proven, but rather faith is a relationship. Faith is trusting in God, trusting every bit of our lives to him. And that leads, and echoing this thought in 2 Corinthians 5:7, where it says, "We live by faith, not by sight." Seeing isn't always believing. Sometimes seeing is deceiving, is being deceived. And so we trust in the word that God has given us. So first one is scripture, second one is faith, third one that we have is grace. And grace is defined as God's undeserved love, that he gives us things that we do not deserve, things that we have not earned, things that we should not get. And so with that, we see in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, verse says, "For you have been saved by grace through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast." We can't do anything to earn that. God gives it to us. And 2 Corinthians 12, 9 says, "But he has said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may be upon me.'" Reminds us, this walk of faith that we have, it's not about us, not about what we do, but it's what God is able to do in us and through us. We don't deserve it, but he loves us anyways. So scripture, faith, grace. If you have those tools, those three tools in your tool belt as you move forward in your vicarage and as you move on into the back to the seminary and then into your congregation, as you keep those tools in your spiritual tool belt, you will be equipped to meet so many of those challenges that come your way because you are reminded of God's love, God's presence, that he will never fail you. He will always be there. He's given us these assortments of tools, but the challenge is we so often do not use them as we should. We ignore them. Don't answer this question out loud. When was the last time you opened up your Bible in your home? Is it one where you have to go, and it's dusty? Or is it falling apart at the seams because you use it so much? You see, friends, we need to live a life that is worthy of the calling, as our text says, always growing, always trusting, always reveling in the grace of God. And I want to tell you, Vicar here, never think that your little bit is not big enough. God can use you as you are to accomplish great things. He's given you tools. He's given you skills, given you abilities. And don't minimize what he's given you. Use them to the fullest of your ability. And as a reminder, as you use those tools, as we use those tools together, that we can accomplish so much more together than we could ever do so alone. We were not created to be alone, but we were created to be in relationship with one another. And how fitting it is, as I bring this to a close, that on your confirmation day, and I said this at St. Paul as well, that May 4th, that you receive John 4, verse 19, as your confirmation verse. It says, "We love because Christ first loved us." See, we were unable to love until he loved us. Once he loved us, we know what love is all about. And he loves us so much that we just can't keep it to ourselves. We want others to experience that same love, that same hope, that same joy, that same forgiveness that God has given us. And as we allow the Lord to work, he will accomplish great things. God's blessings to you, my brothers and sisters here at Zion. It's been great working with many of your leaders here for about a month or so already. And I want to tell you, you got some great leaders. You have some very committed people. You have some very passionate people. And we want to do what we can to take care of you and work with them and accomplish great things because we know that God has great things still in store for you here at Zion. And as God blesses you, God bless you, Vicar Carey. God bless you, Leah, family members. We're glad that you're part of our family here. Look forward to working with you. And again, we know that God will do that because we rely on his grace and his love in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen. At this time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to call Vicar Carey forward, and he can stand. We'll have him stand down here, otherwise he'd tower over me, so we'll have him stand on the lower level as we officially will induct him as vicar here at Zion, and we are excited that this is taking place. Dear friends in Christ, after much deliberation, after much prayer, after much discussion, we see how God was able to bring St. Paul and Zion together as we begin this partnership in ministry, where Vicar Carey will be working among you for the next 12 months. And after much prayerful consideration, working with the seminaries and the board of assignments there, they have sent him to serve among us here today. And having attended Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne for the first 2 years of his seminary training, he has been taught, he's been found ready, and to begin this third year of the seminary training, which involves work with you here today. It's been a long-standing tradition of this church body to assign students specifically to congregations for a theological internship, working around the clock with all of you, where he will serve among you for the next 12 months, leading worship, delivering sermons, teaching Bible class, visiting the sick and the hospitalized, experience the blessings firsthand of what it means to work side by side with God's people. Hear what the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God has ever said, Jesus be accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For one to be given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, to another all according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another variety of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by the one and same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Today, we celebrate the gifts that God has given Vicar Carey among us. Derek, the Lord has indeed blessed you with many talents and skills. And now is the time when many of those gifts that you've been given, many of those tools that you have in your spiritual toolbox to be put to use in service for the Lord. And I ask you, are you prepared to serve as vicar here at Zion Lutheran Church in Ridgeville Corners, along with St. Paul Lutheran Church in Napoleon, Ohio? Are you ready and willing to listen and to learn and to grow in your understanding as a student, as you will be better equipped to and prepared for full-time church ministry? Then respond, I am with the help of God. Do you promise faithfully to serve God's people in the teaching of ministry, accordance with Holy Scripture, and the teachings of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Then respond by saying, yes, I do promise. Will you, trusting in God's care, to seek to grow and love those that you serve, strive for excellence in your skills, and adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ with a godly life? Then respond, I will, with the help of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have heard the promise made by seminarian Derek Carey. Will you also now serve, who will serve as our vicar? I ask you, in the presence of God, will you keep him in your prayers? And will you show Derek, along with his wife Leah, fitting love and honor as he is training for full-time church work? Then together respond by saying, we will, with the help of God.
We will, with the help of God.
Are you ready? Are you willing? And are you able to assume the work of this position of vicar? Then respond by saying, I am.
I am.
Seminarian Derek Carey, I now officially induct you as vicar of Zion Lutheran Church and St. Paul Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you directed us to pray that you would send laborers into the harvest field. Bless and send your Holy Spirit upon Derek Carey, that through his service as vicar in this congregation, your word may be proclaimed and taught in joyfulness, and your church built upon the one true foundation, Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I am now going to ask his wonderful wife, Leah, to please come forward and stand next to her husband, who will continue to encourage him and support him as he has done throughout his seminary career. They will be living next door. You are living next door already, and they are excited to be part of this congregation. Just as a reminder, Leah is teaching just about 55 minutes away over in New Haven, And we are excited that they are among us and the skills that they both bring. And so I encourage you, again, as we recess out and in the Sundays to come, please introduce yourself multiple times. There are two of them and a lot more of you, okay? And in addition to all of you, they have all the people over at St. Paul. So we haven't given you a quiz yet, have we?
At St. Paul.
At St. Paul, no, we have not. it was the biggest sigh of relief. He said, no, not at St. Paul yet. But so I encourage you to keep doing that. I'll tell you, back at St. Paul when I got there 30 years ago, maybe some of you may know Joe Burke. She was a member there. She came out, my name is Joe Burke. I'm going to say this until you remember. Next Sunday, my name is Joe Burke. And I'm going to say this until you remember. My name is Joe Burke. And so she's been gone 25 years, and I still remember her name, Joe Burke. So please help them out. But now with that, before we finish the rest of the service, I invite all of you to show them the great love that you have and the excitement that you have in sharing ministry with them by giving them a nice warm round of applause. And welcome. We're having it easy on him today. He's just worshiping, but after this, he's going to go full work. So with that, you go ahead and return to your seats, and we will now continue with our prayer hymn, which is LSB 783, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose.
Please rise as we now go to God in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank You for opportunities such as this where we are able to gather together in Your name to give You the worship and praise that You deserve, to grow in the faith that You have given us, and to be reminded that we all are indeed a work in progress, that we are not a finished product, but in You, O Lord, You have called us to be part of Your family, and that gives us all the encouragement that we need to forge ahead each and every day. Lord, on this day, we together as a congregation celebrate that Vicar Derek Carey has been inducted as vicar here at Zion. We are thankful for bringing him to this place at this time so that he may do the work that You have placed before him. Bless him, bless his wife Leah, bless his family, where they may be able to continue to grow in that faith and be equipped to meet those challenges that are placed before them. May the tools that You have placed in their tool belt, that is scripture and faith and grace, so that as they receive it, that they will continue to grow and be the people that You desire them to be, living the lives that You want them to live, worthy of that calling that You have placed before them. On this day, O Lord, we also bring before You our prayers that are upon our hearts, all those individuals who have been ill or hospitalized or have special needs. We pray this day for Margaret, Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Steve, Brandy, Mavries, Heather, Gary, Mark, Michael, Ray, Lane, Chelsea, Norma, Justin, Ted, as well as Pastor Rockroar. We pray also for the family of Douglas Meyer and the family of Roger Helberg. Lord, we do indeed take great comfort knowing that you are well aware of the needs of these individuals as well as the names of those individuals upon our hearts. We pray that you will give them the encouragement of your constant presence and remind them that you love them, that you care for them, that you'll never leave them now or ever. We place them all into your hands, trusting in your grace and mercy, as we now together join in praying that prayer that you have taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Receive now the benediction, that is the blessing of our great God. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen.
Amen.
We conclude our worship with our closing hymn, Beautiful Savior, and as a reminder to join us for the fellowship luncheon following dismissal.
Beautiful Savior, King of creation, Son of God and Son of man, truly I'd love thee, truly I'd serve thee, light of my soul, my joy. Then all the angels sing.